Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Colossians, the first chapter. Colossians chapter 1 in your Schofield Reference Bible, page 1263. We'll read just one verse from this chapter, and then we'll turn to another portion of Scripture. We'll read the 24th verse. Of course, we'll read this all together. And for the reading of this, may we stand, please. Colossians 1:24, and let's read. Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Turn now to Philippians chapter 3. Turn back just a couple pages, beginning with verse 7. We'll read through verse 14. The text verse for this passage is the 10th verse. We'll read these verses responsively, beginning with Philippians chapter 3, verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I also am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. May we pray. Lord, this is a special opportunity that we have, much more special, perhaps, than we recognize. We pray that you'd certainly meet with us in a demonstration of power, meet the needs of our hearts. If you're to do that, our hearts must be tender. And in Jesus' name, amen.
Let me explain two verses before I bring tonight the message. Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you. Paul said, I suffer for you and I rejoice in it. And fill up that which is behind of the affliction of Christ in my flesh now for his body's sake, which is the church. Now what is he saying? Paul is saying that Christ suffered for you. And now I'm supposed to continue that suffering for you. And then that very, very famous passage in Philippians, I won't turn to it, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. Now these two verses explain the passage. That's my text verse for tonight. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. What does it mean for one to take up his cross? I don't think we touch the hem of the garment when we explain what our Savior means when he says take up his cross. Let him deny himself. Most of us have not gotten that far yet. And take up his cross and follow me. And I want you to notice something. You can't follow him totally till you take up your cross. These things are given in order. He said, if you want to come after me, he said, first deny yourself. He said, second, take up your cross. And then he said, you're qualified to follow me. I want to talk to you tonight. Rather seriously, and I think rather briefly, on the subject, what does the Lord mean when he calls something our cross? Our Father, bless tonight our discussion give us, I pray, just a little bit of growth in grace. Conform us a little more to thy likeness, because we're here. In Jesus' name, amen. What is our cross? How can we take up our cross until we know exactly what is our cross? God's command to his disciples today is the same as his command was yesterday. If you want to follow me, he said, this is what you've got to do. First, you've got to deny yourself. Second, you've got to take up your cross. And then he said, you can follow me. All right, then if we want to become followers of Christ, then you're not a follower of Christ just because you're saved. Most people who are saved do not follow Christ. But what is the cross? I want you to listen very carefully. We are so shallow in our Christianity. We're so glib in our discussions about the great things of God. What is the cross? What is our cross? When Jesus said, take up your cross, what is it? Somebody said, that's easy. It's your burdens. It is the difficult circumstance that you face in life, or the difficult circumstances. That's what the cross is. You got a tough life. You've got some kind of disease that causes you to suffer. And that's your cross. I look around this building tonight. Don't have to look very far to see broken hearts. We're walking down the steps this morning, the fellows who walk with me to and from the services to fellowship with me and to help me. And we're walking down the stairs this morning from my office. One of our ladies walked up the stairs and with a warm smile. She opened the door and it was so windy this morning. And I said, you sure are windy. She says, what my husband says, too. And as we walked down the alley, I said to the fellows, nobody knows the burden that lady carries. That lady carries a real burden. Then I got to thinking as I walked the fellow beside me carries a heavy burden also. I'm talking about the men with me. I got looking around. I couldn't find anybody that doesn't carry a heavy burden. Mrs. Helton is here tonight. Only God knows what that dear family's been through these years. That precious little girl that suffered so much and who's now looking down from the heavenly city. And it's a wonderful thing there's a heaven, but it's still a burden. They miss her. All of us have burdens, and I'm not minimizing burdens tonight. But the truth is, your burden is not your cross. Now, your burden is God is concerned about your burden. And God wants to help you bear your burden. And God wants to help each of us bear our burdens and wants each of us to help each other bear our burdens. But that's not what he's talking about when he says, take up your cross. He's not saying, deny yourself and take up your incurable disease and follow me. He's not saying, deny yourself and take up your heartache and follow me. Because the circumstances of life are not chosen. But the cross is volitional. Jesus didn't say, if you want to follow me, bear the cross that comes across your path. No, he said, take up your cross. So the cross is volitional. You take it yourself. It's a matter of your choice when you take up your cross. The Bible says concerning Jesus, he accomplished Calvary. It's an accomplishment. The bearing of the cross is not something that's inevitable. That you don't have to bear your cross. No way you have to. It's not an inevitable thing. The cross is your path. It's something that is volitional. You decide. And that's why Jesus didn't say, if you want to come after me, bear your cross. It comes your way. Didn't say that. He said, take up your cross. Jesus didn't have to go to Calvary. But he did. He chose to go. It was his choice. He accomplished it. Somebody says, all right, Brother Howell, it's okay. Then the cross is not the circumstances of life that are difficult or the burden that you have to bear. What is the cross? Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. What was he talking about? Somebody says he's talking about, and I've said this before, and I don't think it's an injustice to the Scripture, but it's not a complete interpretation of the Scripture. Somebody said it's the will of God. Your cross is the will of God for your life. Now, I want to say this. God has a will for everybody's life. You have no right to choose your own life. It's His business. God has a plan for your life. And you were made for that plan. You didn't make yourself. You don't have a right to do what you want to do. Now, God's given you a will, and if you want to flaunt it, flaunt His will and flaunt Him and stick your tongue out at Him and say, I don't give a hoot what you care. It's what I want. I've got my own right. I'll do my own thing. You can do that if you want to, but you're a fool if you do. God has a will. But the will of God is not the cross. It's a part of the cross. But it's not the totality of the bearing of one's cross. When Jesus said, any man will follow me or come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. He was talking about the will of God, but more than the will of God. Never come down to what I want to say tonight. What is the cross? We take a next step. We've gone from the burdens and difficult circumstances of life up to the will of God, and now we take another step toward what the cross really is. It is redemptive suffering for others. Jesus died for somebody else. The cross was Jesus dying in somebody's place, suffering for somebody else, for others' sake. Now, you can't bear your cross until you suffer what you, him and out, what you deserve, what you do not deserve to suffer, that someone else does deserve to suffer. That's what the cross is all about. He who was perfect bore the sins of imperfect people. He who was God bore the sins of human beings. He who was holy bore the sins of unholy people. Now, there's no way that you can take up your cross until you suffer what you do not deserve to suffer in the place of somebody who deserves to suffer it. Ladies and gentlemen, most of us don't have the foggiest idea what New Testament Christianity is all about. Quit your drinking, quit your smoking, quit your cussing, don't go nightclubbing, don't live an immoral life, and go to church, and believe the Bible's Word of God, and don't go mixed bathing, and all of that, and that's it. Oh, that's a part of it, but that's only the hem of the garment. There's something deeper. God wants us to suffer for each other. You take up your cross, it's redemptive. It is a redemptive work that you perform by suffering when you don't deserve to suffer for somebody in somebody's place who does deserve to suffer. The Apostle Paul hit it when he said in Romans 9:1, he said, I could wish myself accursed for my kinsmen, my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh. That word accursed is a strong word. What Paul was saying there, he was saying, God, if you will save my people, the Jewish nation, if you will save my people, I'll be willing to stand before you at the great white throne judgment as an unsaved sinner. I'll be willing to stand there hopeless and helpless before you. And I'll be willing to stand there and let you say, depart from me into everlasting fire. I never knew you. And I'll be willing to go to that everlasting fire and suffer for eternity in the place of my people. He said, I will be willing to stand before the great white throne judgment of God and be condemned and cast into hell fire. If you'll save my people, I'll spend eternity in hell. That's the thing New Testament church needs. And that'll stop the church split. And that'll stop the fussing. And that'll stop the complaining. And that'll stop the bickering. And that'll stop the strife. And that'll stop the wrath when God's people say, let me suffer in His place. He said, look what He did to me. That's paganism. Don't you recall what Jesus said He said, it hath been said, an eye and an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. Love those that love you. Hate those that hate you. He said, even the heathen do that. Now you listen to me. That is the kind of love the average person sitting in this building has. Heathen love. What he said? He said, it hath been said, an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. Love those that love you. Hate those that hate you. He said, even the heathen do that. Let me tell you something. The church of Jesus Christ, the churches of Jesus Christ, need to get a dose of picking up our cross. What is the cross? Jesus, innocent one, suffering for the guilty ones. That you have ever decided to suffer the guilt of the guilty, even though you are innocent. You've not yet picked up your cross and followed Jesus. Oh, my soul hurts tonight. God's people bickering and fussing and fuming and fighting. My soul hurts tonight because God's people all across this nation can't get along with each other. Churches dividing right down the middle, all across the nation. Why? Because we've never been willing to pick up our crosses and follow Jesus. And the cross is redemptive. The cross is when you innocently suffer for the guilty and you choose to do so.
Well, I didn't do it. Why are you getting on me?
What you ought to say, I didn't do it, but get on me. That's New Testament Christianity. It's almost a foreign language to the fundamentalist people or anybody in the world today. Foreign language. But you have never picked up your cross until you're willing to suffer for the guilty, even though you're innocent. Moses said that. Exodus 32:32. He said, dear God, for the sake of my people, I'd be willing to let you blot my name out of the book of life. Now, boy, that's a hunk of statement. If you went up to heaven tonight, open the book of life, you look under H's, down toward the end of the H's, you'd find H-Y-L-E-S, comma, Jack Frazier Hiles. I know my name is in heaven tonight. It's not there because I'm good. It's not there because I deserve it. Not there because I've earned it. It's there because of the marvelous, amazing grace of Christ who paid the penalty for me on Calvary. My name is written in heaven. Bible says, don't rejoice because the demons are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Thank God tonight. Thank God. Hallelujah. My name is written in heaven tonight. But if Moses said, he said, for my people's sake, I'd be willing, God, for you to take and blot my name, just scratch my name out of the book of life. Blot my name out. Let me die and go to hell. My people have sinned. Let me go to hell for them. That's what taking up the cross is. Take up that cross and follow me. I heard the blessed Savior say, how can I make a lesser sacrifice when Jesus gave His all? That's what it means in Philippians 3:10. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering. He said, I want to know Him. I want to suffer like He suffered. I want to fellowship with Him in His suffering. What was His suffering? Innocency. Suffering for guilt. Right. Suffering in the place of wrong. Purity. Suffering in the place of impurity. God. Suffering in the place of man. Perfection, suffering in the place of imperfection. And nobody can take up His cross and follow Jesus until He says, let me suffer for Him. I don't deserve it. He does. Let me suffer in His place. I wish I could somehow give you a heart transplant. I wish I could dig in your breast tonight and take out that heart of yours and place the heart that has a cross in it. Oh, our complaining and our feuding and our bickering with each other. It's needless. It's heathen. It's pagan. Jesus said, you who are innocent, suffer for those who are guilty. That's what He says. Sometimes I wish I could take or could have the opportunity to die for the people who sit in this room. I'd love to show you how my heart loves the people that sit in this room tonight. Sometimes I'd like to have the privilege of somebody saying to me, you die. You'll die if you keep loving those folks. And I'd like to walk to the gallows. I'd like to feel the steel, cold steel of a saber through my breast. I'd like to have a noose placed around my neck. And I'd like to have all the members of First Baptist Church of Hammond there and say, I loved you, didn't I? I loved you, didn't I? And that's what we all do for each other. Somebody else has done you wrong or done wrong. You ought to be willing to pay the price and wish you could pay the price in their place. What is the cross? Your circumstantial difficulties? No. Just the will of God for your life? Closer, but not yet. What is the cross? It is redemptive suffering for others. What did Jesus mean? In case anybody cares, whether you, in case anybody here wants to take up your cross. Just perchance there's someone sitting in this room tonight who cares enough to say, I'd like to take up my cross. I'd like to come after Jesus. I'd like to know what he meant when he said, take up your cross. What did he mean? He meant first, redemptive suffering for others. And second, he meant suffering for one who is not only guilty, but guilty against me. Hear me now. Hear me now. If you're watching the World Series, you wouldn't go to sleep. I don't care how much sleep you got last night. If you get through, you'd love the Word of God as much as you love baseball and football and basketball. You'll sit up and listen to what God's man is saying. I'm teaching you something that the Christian world knows almost nothing about. What does it mean, take up the cross? It means first suffering for something you've not done in the place of somebody who's done it. But it also means suffering for something you've not done in the place of somebody who's done it against you. Now, somebody attacked you. Somebody hurt you. And you say, God, don't punish him. Punish me in his place. You say, I don't understand that. I know. Don't you wish you could? That's not natural. I'm not talking about natural religion. I'm talking about supernatural Christianity. Not talking about the natural. Heathen do that. The heathen love the lovely. The heathen love the loving. The heathen love the lovable. Jesus said to those 12 men, he said, if you want to come after me, you deny yourself. Take up your cross. He was saying, people will spit on you. You ask God to let you suffer the punishment for that spitting. Folks will crucify you. You ask God to let you suffer the punishment for that crucifixion. Has somebody wronged you? Of course. We're not going to live here in a little communal like this, interwoven as we are. Sunday school, preaching, Bible classes at night, preaching, school, banquets, youth activities, ball games, fellowships, deaf, blind, Spanish, youth, servicemen. We're not going to live together like we live here without some, all of us at some time or other will be done an injustice. Now listen to me. When you have been done an injustice, right there will decide whether or not you take up your cross. Jesus on the cross died in the place of the crowd who killed him. And you've not taken up your cross till you not only suffer for those who are guilty when you're not guilty, but you suffer for those who are guilty of punishing you. And you say, let me suffer in his place or in her place.
She's wronged me. He's wronged me. He's hurt me. She's hurt me. Don't let them suffer. Let me suffer in their place. Let me read for you without you turning to it because of time. Listen carefully to what I'm going to read. I'm reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 6. But brother goeth the law with brother. It's talking about Christian brother. And that before the unbelievers. Now therefore there is utterly a fault among you because ye go to law one with another. It is as unscriptural as cursing for Christians to go to court against each other. But you say, I had to defend my rights. No, you didn't have to defend your rights. Look, this is what it says. Now listen, you'll not find a verse that you don't practice or we don't practice any more than this. And I'll guarantee you, most of you people in this room don't believe this verse. And that's just, listen, that's as liberal as not believing any other verse in the Bible. Listen to this. Now, therefore, there is utterly a fault among you. What is that fault? Because ye go to law one with another. Why do ye not rather, hear me now, why do ye not rather take wrong? Why do ye not rather suffer yourself to be defrauded? He said, if somebody's done you wrong and you have an issue against him, let him teach you. The word defraud means cheat. Did you hear me? Let him teach you. He said, if somebody is trying to teach you, let him teach you. That's Bible. Don't stand up for your rights. Let him crook you. That's Bible. Let me read it again in case you want to hear it again. Doubt if you do. Now, therefore, there is utterly a fault among you because ye go to law one with another. Why do ye not rather take wrong? Why do you not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? And you can check any Greek word you want, any Greek lexicon you want to check, and that word defrauded means, why don't you let yourself be cheated? Well, he robbed me out. He's cheated me out of some money. Let him do it. What the Bible says. But you say, I just don't understand that. Well, you don't have to understand it. Just believe it. Practice it. When Jesus came to those 12 fellows and said, if you want to come after me, two things you've got to do before you can follow me. One, deny yourself. Deny yourself. Deny yourself. Deny yourself. Deny yourself. Deny yourself. Take up your cross. What does it mean, Jesus? Does that mean if I've got a serious illness or a loved one does, the circumstances of life? No, that's not what I mean. What does it mean, Jesus? Does it mean just doing your will for my life? No, that isn't all it means. What does it mean, Jesus? He comes back and he says the first thing it means is this. It means you who are innocent suffer for the guilty. You ask God to let you suffer for your brother. But more than that, even when your brother has done ill to you, ask God, don't make him suffer for what he's done to me. Well, that's a far cry from our heathen Christianity, isn't it? Get him, it's the last thing I do. Boy, you're going to go down with one of the great, the martyrs of all time. That's what the heathen do. That's what the heathen do. Jesus said, take up your cross. Take up your cross. Take up your cross. What is it, Jesus? It's suffering like I suffered. How did you suffer? I suffered the innocent for the guilty. So the guilty wouldn't have to suffer. How did you suffer? I suffered for those who were guilty against me. And I took their place. Did you hear that? Did you know that everybody in this room deserves to go to hell and burn forever? I am so alarmed about the Pharisaism in our churches, I don't know what to do. We're always trying to pick something somebody else has done wrong so we can take action against him. How about our sin? How about my sin? Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. Stephen, with the stones of martyrdom beating on his back, lying in a heap outside the city gates of Jerusalem, The mob, by the way, this is no preacher. This is a deacon. This is no pastor here. This is a deacon. Dying, being stoned to death outside the city of Jerusalem, outside the gates. And those that came and gnashed upon him with their teeth and cursed him and killed him. Stephen said, lay not this sin to their charge. What was he saying? He was saying, I am willing and happy now to pay for their sin. They're killing him. They're killing him. And while he's dying, he says, God, let me pay. Don't make them pay. Let me pay. Lay not their sin to their charge. I have enemies. I'd love to take my enemies and get them all together. Rent the Rose Bowl. I'd love to have all of my enemies together. And I'd love for them to do what they want to do. Destroy me. And I'd love to stand in the middle of the Rose Bowl and have them pick up their stones and get me. I'd love it. I'd love it. And as I die, I'd like to say to them, I love you. I love you. And I'm willing to suffer for you in your place. You say, preacher, I am not up there yet. Well, let's be getting toward it. But I'm just not there yet. Well, I'm glad you used the word yet. Be on your way. That's what the cross is. Have you taken up your cross? Are you a follower of Jesus Christ? Huh? Peter? Andrew? James? John? Philip? Bartholomew? Others? You want to come after me? Oh, yes, Lord. We want to come after you. What do we have to do? Deny yourself. 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 Quit thinking about yourself. What else, Lord? Take up your cross. What is the cross? You know what it is, he says. You used to know what I did. On the cross, I died for others. I was innocent. I died for the guilty. That isn't all. I, who was innocent, died for those who were guilty. And their guilt was toward me. It's redemptive. But it's more than redemptive. It is redemptive toward those who tried to hurt you. Now, I'm going to tell you something. You've never had a better night's sleep. You've never slept better than you'll sleep that night when for the first time in your life you've taken up your cross and loved those that hate you until you're willing to say, oh God, the hatred they have toward me, don't punish them for it. Punish me for that hatred. The animosity they have toward me, don't punish them for it. Punish me in their place. I hunger to see a New Testament church before I die someday. I hunger to see Christian people who quit fighting for their own rights. I hunger to see Christian people who quit clamoring with each other because somebody's done something to me. I hunger someday to see a group of Christian people who will follow Jesus and to follow Him. I have to deny myself. Deny myself. Deny myself. Deny myself. Deny myself. Deny myself. Take up my cross. What's that? Bearing in my body His afflictions. In having, knowing Him and the fellowship of His sufferings. What are those sufferings? Sufferings He didn't deserve. And others did. What are those sufferings? Sufferings that He didn't deserve and others had inflicted upon Him. That's what Stephen meant when he said, lay not this sin to their charge. One other thing, and I'm through. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross. What does that mean? It means redemptive suffering. The innocent suffering in the place of the guilty. The right suffering in the place of the wrong. What else does it mean? It means asking God and your suffering in the place of those who ought to suffer because of what they've inflicted upon you. Boy, that's a hunk of thing. That's it. There's a third thing. What is this cross? This cross is the innocent suffering for the guilty. What else? The innocent suffering for the guilty. Who are guilty of hurting me. What else? And then it is declaring that he has not sinned at all. That's what the Savior meant when he said, take up your cross. Anybody here interested? Anybody want a cross? We're saying, must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No! There's a cross for everyone. What is that cross? Redemptive. You take redemption away from the cross, you just got a bunch of folks dying. You just got a bunch of murders. You take voluntary, volitional redemption away from Calvary. You don't have any salvation. That's what's wrong with the dirty liberals. That's what's wrong with the rotten liberal theology. There's no vicarious death in it. Take away the vicarious death of Jesus. We have no salvation. We have no hope. And you take away the vicarious suffering on the part of God's people for the guilty. And you have no cross bearing. Because the cross was redemptive. It was the guilty not being punished, but the innocent being punished in his place. It was the innocent suffering for the guilty who were guilty of trying to kill the innocent. And then it was declaring the guilty against you justified as if he had never sinned against you at all. I've not arrived. I mean this when I say it. I'm on my way. How far I am, I don't know. But I'm working at it. God knows I am. But quite often this happens to me. A fellow walked in my office the other day. He said, Brother Howells, I want to apologize to you. He said, for that battle you and I had several years ago. And I said, sir, you'll forgive me. But I don't remember any battle you and I had. He said, wait a minute. He said, well, listen, in your office, we had a real skirmish. Why, he said, I said some things to you. Sure you remember. I said, sir, I don't mean to be unkind to you or call you a liar, but I do not remember us ever having any problem. That's what I'm talking about. Stephen said, while he was dying at the hands of the people and the murderers, and he said concerning those murderers who were killing him and whose hands he was dying, lay not this sin to their charge. And I trace that word charge. Here's what it means. It means don't look at it, God. The word is amaturo, which means martyr. Marturo, or martyrio, means martyr. Our witness. He said, Lord, don't witness what's going on right now. Lay not this sin to their charge. Lord, don't look at it. Don't look at it. Don't put it against their record. I'm paying for their sin. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is what the Savior meant when he said, any man will come after me. Let him deny himself. But self pops up and says, I'm not treated right. He said, I'll deny you, self. Get thee behind yourself. But self says, somebody's wounded me. Deny yourself. But self says, let me at him. Deny yourself.
deny yourself and take up his cross and follow me. Not many cross bearers tonight. Not many cross bearers. Some cross believers, but somehow, and I'm through with this, somehow we can't look at the cross without realizing what it's done for us. And that's all. We somehow cannot look at Calvary and see an obligation. Gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone. Hallelujah! Okay, how about the sins of those that have sinned against you? Are they gone? Glory to God! Not sin is charged against my record. Okay, you got anybody else's sins charged on your books? Huh? Take up thy cross and follow me. I hear the blessed Savior call. How can I make a lesser sacrifice when Jesus gave his all? It just looks like to me, if the sinless, perfect Son of God could take up the cross for me, I, a sinner, could take up the cross for other sinners. Must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No. There's a cross for everyone. And there's a cross for me. If I ever take it up, I'll have to deny myself. And I'll have to suffer for those who are guilty. And I'll have to suffer for those who are guilty of hurting me. The same punishment that they should suffer. And then I'll have to declare them innocent of any sin at all. That's exactly what happened on Calvary. That's what Jesus did on the cross. And he said, if you follow me, you'll have to pick up your cross. Our Heavenly Father